Venezuela is our topic right now during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is John Tamney of FreedomWorks. He's a writer, and recently he has written on the South American country, Venezuela, which has been experiencing some incredible problems due to their socialistic policies. John, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for having me on.
You know, it really is a human tragedy what is happening, you know, hundreds of miles south of our border. And in fact, I was just reading earlier this week that 2.3 million people from Venezuela have left that country just in search of food. And, you know, in the last couple of years. And this is because of the socialism that they've had. And so I want you to go ahead and comment on it and the whole economic situation in Venezuela.
Sure. Well, you know, it's sad, but also very simple. An economy is just a collection of individuals. And when you put barriers in the way of individuals that makes it more difficult for them to produce, they're going to starve. Only in economics textbooks do we consume our way to prosperity. In the real world, we can only consume insofar as we produce first. And so with the ability of Venezuelans to produce in the economy very much limited, they can't consume, and so they've had to leave the country in search of what increasingly can't be had within their country. It's a real tragedy.
You know, what's so amazing, though, too, is you see people in America where they're touting socialism. In fact, there was a poll, I think it was Gallup, that said just recently, for the first time ever, the number of Democrats embracing socialism or preferring socialism to capitalism is a majority now. So a majority of Democrats think capitalism is bad, but socialism is good. That does not portend well for the future.
Well, it doesn't, but I also think that markets are wise. It was written recently that the stock market is more powerful than a nuclear weapon. And so, and the point there is, if ever politicians on either side go too far in the wrong direction, markets will correct them back. And so it's my belief, without defending the ideology of the Democrats for a second, I think a lot of that's stylistic. I think a lot of it's a pose. If they actually had to live under socialism, they would hate it. And if we were actually moving in that direction, you would see stock markets crashing substantially here to reflect our bleak future. The fact that markets are not crashing is a sign that whatever Democrats claim to believe, we're not going that way in the real world.
Okay, what are your comments about the success of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, you know, famously now won that congressional seat primary in New York City in the Bronx area?
Well, it's certainly disappointing. Now, my understanding is that the person she replaced in Crowley was hardly a free marketeer himself. And so there are always going to be within any party, and this would be true in the Republican Party too, there's always going to be odd extremes that certain pockets of voters are going to elect. It's always said that Santa Monica, California produces some odd birds politically, and certainly New York has over the years. Does anyone remember New York Mayor John Lindsay? But overall, if the Democrats ran an actual socialist, someone who said the federal government is going to take away the resources created by all of you and manage them themselves, the Democrats would very quickly go from not just being a minority party, but being extinct. And I just base that on the American people. They love prosperity. Americans are brash about it. Love or hate Donald Trump, and there are differing views on that. Americans just elected a billionaire. Americans admire this stuff. So I don't worry about us moving socialist.
Okay, and yet there is, you know, the popularity of Bernie Sanders. I mean, obviously he didn't even defeat Hillary Clinton, but the fact that we had an out-of-the-wool socialist running as a major political candidate, that should send up, you know, some alarms, because what happens is, you know, okay, he loses this time around, but, you know, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, these kinds of ideas might resurge, and, you know, they're very popular with young people.
Look, you make an interesting point, and you know, the first thing I would say to that is, isn't it ironic that the Democrats talk about extremes in the Republican Party when Bernie Sanders is so popular? I mean, who could be a more ridiculous human being than Bernie Sanders, or for that matter, Elizabeth Warren? That she's popular is just odd. Having said all that, I've never bought into the notion that young people in the U.S. are going socialist. And the reason I haven't is that market signals don't indicate that. Everything you read is that businesses are routinely trying to figure out ways to cater to the needs of the millennials and the generation that follows them. Well, if they were all collectivists, without a care about money and living a better life, no business would take the time to meet their needs because they wouldn't have the means to buy anything in the first place. Mm-hmm. It's also interesting, and I point this out in my new book, The End of Work, that every hotel brand in the U.S., and for that matter the world, is actively developing hotel lines that are meant to cater to the needs of the millennials. Well, if in fact they all thought socialism was amazing, they wouldn't be staying in hotels to begin with, because that would be handing their dollars over to capitalists. And so I think there's a difference between their poses as being okay with socialism and their actual actions. Their actions suggest that they probably, like past generations, will become rather capitalist.
Well, it's almost like, you know, you see the scenario where, oh, yeah, capitalism is bad, socialism is good, and then they turn to their iPhones and then they tweet that out. Well, wait a minute. They have an iPhone? Oh, that's, you know, produced by capitalism. They tweet. Oh, that's, you know, Twitter's part of the capitalist system. Of course, you know, the big tech and the way big tech is so liberal these days, it's almost like, you know, socialism is good, capitalism is bad, even though it's biting the hand that feeds them.
Yeah, well, I think you nail it. I think in pointing out that these people who claim they like socialism are doing it on Apple computers and with Microsoft, you know, or Dell computers with Microsoft software on it, and they're doing it through Twitter, it's an acknowledgement that while they talk the talk, they really don't walk the walk. Americans love living, and they love living very well. Americans are soft in that way, and I think it's a good thing. They couldn't live without the fruits of capitalism. And I would add that I think that's part of what's going on out in Silicon Valley. Okay, they may talk the talk of, oh, you know, we don't care about profits and everything, mm-hmm. but you know what? Their shareholders do, and so do they. Google is thought to be do no harm, and hey, we're offering up this search engine for free. But they offer it up for free because they can sell access to the search information of their users, and I think this is a good thing, who are actively looking to buy things. And so I just... Look, every young generation is viewed as kind of being entitled and spoiled and a little more left-leaning, but they all end up turning out pretty normal and pretty right-wing. We're living in a country right now, love or hate Republicans, in which the Republicans control the White House, Senate, House, two-thirds of governorships, the Supreme Court. Is the United States really moving left? I'm not buying it. I don't think there's any evidence supporting it.
I can't help but think of that old statement from Churchill where he said, if you're not a liberal when you're young, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative by the time you're in your 40s, you have no brain. but let's talk about Venezuela in terms of inflation and attempts to curb inflation, since socialism writ large can be seen in the tragedy in Venezuela.
You know, it goes down to the individual, and an individual, what do they earn? They are actively earning money, and they're earning the money not because they want to look at it, but for what it can be exchanged for. And so you can see what happens when a country thoroughly wrecks its currency. Suddenly the currency disappears, because who in Venezuela would accept a bolivar for actual goods and services, you're not going to accept it because you don't know what you could get with that boulevard. And so what we're seeing right now is a country that, at least through its leadership, is very anti-American. Is ironically, what economy exists there, and it's mostly black market, it's dollarized. And of course it is. Because, see, it takes 2.5 million bolivars to buy a dozen eggs in Venezuela. Good luck carting that around. But $1, with $1, you can buy over basically a dozen eggs for 60 cents. And so what does that tell you? It tells you that there is a black market in Venezuela, which there is in any socialist country. And the currency liquefying that black market is the dollar. And so people still, even in the most socialistic communist countries, there's still a market. It's just hidden. And this isn't to say that everything's wonderful in Venezuela. It's not. But it is to say that to the extent that people are able to get things that they need, they're getting it in the black market. Thank goodness that it exists.
Well, the stories, though, out of Venezuela are just amazing. I mentioned earlier the mass migration out, people leaving just to basically feed themselves and their family. I read one report where it said the average Venezuelan in the last year has lost 24 pounds. And not out of, you know, some sort of diet, but basically because they have less food available. And conditions are really bad for those who are in prisons. And I imagine they have more than their share of political prisoners or maybe even religious prisoners in terms of people who have protested against the unjust situation there in Venezuela.
Oh, it's so sad. And here we in the United States complain about obesity. In many ways, you'd have to say that obesity is a sign of progress, that capitalism feeds more and more people, makes it so that more and more people can enjoy a standard of living that's devoid of starvation. And so you look at the reverse. That number you cite of 24 pounds is just sick-inducing. This is what you get when you take away from people the ability to prosper, when you basically put barriers up to their ability to produce so that they can get the goods and services they want. And so it's most certainly a lesson for everyone that if you find yourself leaning in the direction of socialism, go spend a day or do the reading that you've done about Venezuela to understand just how cruel and murderous is a system that does not allow for private property.
And the irony is that it's my understanding the richest person in Venezuela is the daughter of the former dictator Chavez, Hugo Chavez, who took Venezuela, which is an oil-rich country and one of the wealthiest countries in Latin America as far as just natural resources, and put it on this communist socialist path, and now all these people are starving, and yet his daughter is apparently, has billions of dollars. It's just so tragic.
It's sad, and it's a reminder. Don't ever be fooled by politicians. Politicians always eat, don't they? They always have access. It doesn't matter what policies they foist on us. They will always eat, and it's a reminder to not be so trusting in them. Because look at the horrific damage they can do to people. And it's, again, it's so unfortunate to watch what's happened in Venezuela. And if there's a silver lining to this, it's people who would actually believe this, who believe in collectivism. It's a wake-up call for the rest of the world that this is what you get. I would just add that it's a sign that mineral wealth is rarely a good thing. It's not necessary. Germany doesn't have much mineral wealth. Switzerland has very little. Hong Kong has very little. And I would argue that's the source of their economic success. And there's a reason for it. You can't move oil wealth. And so mineral wealth like that empowers governments, because what you can't move, governments can tax. In Switzerland, Hong Kong, Germany, places like that, where there's nothing for, there's no wealth just sitting in the ground. The wealth becomes about people, and people are mobile. You described at the beginning of the show that Venezuelans are moving out en masse. The people who are always and everywhere the wealth, are moving. Oil, we can just buy in the world market. If the U.S. had zero oil, wouldn't matter one bit. We could still buy the oil needed just from other producers. The people are what matter.
John, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. John Tamney, freedomworks.com. Give me the name of your book one more time.
Sure. The newest one is The End of Work. It's an exciting story about the evolution of jobs so that more and more people are thrilled about going to work each day.
And that's Regnery, right?
That is Regnery. Yep. Yes, it is.
Freedomworks.com, John Tamney. Thanks so much for joining us, John. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.